Bill Riley Show continuing here on a Friday. 2 weeks from today, we'll be down in Los Angeles for Pac-12 Media Days right here on ESPN 700. So you have that to look forward to, and we have that to look forward to as we kill time until the season begins this afternoon. We're out at the Sprint store in Taylorsville at 54 South and Redwood Road. Come on by and say hi. They're feeding you a little lunch. We're giving away Real Salt Lake tickets for tonight, golf balls, and more. So just come on by and say hi as we're out here till 2 o'clock today. We'll talk some NBA free agency in the Utah Jazz, which is just absolutely nuts. Well, not the Jazz, but the rest of the NBA. With Jody Guinness, our Jazz insider, coming up in about 10 minutes or so. Right now, though, a little college football. We may see our next guest coming up in a couple of weeks down in Los Angeles at Pac-12 Media Days. College football writer and college basketball writer, covers college athletics for USA Today. Good to have Dan Walken back with us here in Salt Lake City. Hey, Dan.
How's it going?
Things are well, sir. Things are well. I know you're probably sitting back and watching. What's crazier right now, the money and the free agency in the NBA or the number of graduate transfers we've had in college basketball this season?
Oh, I got to go with the NBA. The transfer thing, you know, it's just that one just makes sense. Every year you're going to have a lot of that because of the opportunity there. And I think people who graduate college and get a degree and have eligibility left, it's only natural, especially if they're not in a situation that they're real comfortable with from playing time or whatever. You know, they might want to just go and see what else they can do in 1 year, and they've earned that right, in my opinion. So I don't mind that at all. I know it drives some people crazy, especially coaches, but the NBA thing is just, I mean, I knew it was coming, but it's real interesting to see some of these contracts roll in.
Yeah, that's the thing. We knew the cap was going up, and we knew the salaries, but when you actually see them down on paper and see Adrian Wojnarowski tweeting out Timothy Mozgov, who played 76 minutes in the entire postseason, getting $64 million, it's just kind of – it doesn't become real till you see it on that paper, and man, oh, man, has it become real.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge NBA fan, and I watch a lot of it, and I don't necessarily – look, I love that players get what they're – what they deserve and what they can get, and all that's great. But I think for the sake of the league, if they could have figured out a way to maybe gradually raise this cap, that it would have been better for everybody, because I do think you're going to have some sort of unintended consequences from all this stuff. But we'll see. We'll see. It's wild.
So we're 62 days away from kickoff here in Salt Lake City. They'll kick off a little later, a little sooner in some other places, Utah and southern Utah. I mentioned all the media days are beginning to come up and things like that. So give me a quick Dan Walken view before we head down to L.A. in 2 weeks of the Pac-12 conference. I've kind of said this offseason, I kind of see three teams that I like in the south and three teams I like in the north, Utah, USC, UCLA in the south, Washington, Oregon, and Stanford in the north. But the one thing, Dan, I don't see is a definitive best team in the league this year, which may hurt for the Final Four.
Yeah, I think the Pac-12 is sort of in the same position it was at the end of last year, where you are deep in good teams, but in terms of a standout, you don't really see one on paper right now. And obviously, to get into that playoff, you're going to have to either go undefeated or probably have just one loss. We've seen now a couple of years that's just going to be the way it works. And I don't think it's a scheduling issue. I don't think it's you're playing too hard in non-conference schedule. I just think it's that there's a lot of parity in the Pac-12, and parity is good and bad. It's good in that you have a lot of teams that will have chances to win on a given Saturday, and you're going to have a lot of great games and a good product. But at the end of the day, if you are a truly elite team, you find a way to get through. And I just think we've seen the Pac-12 has not had a truly elite team last year and probably doesn't this year.
Is there a truly elite team in college football, or are there just a bunch of really, really good teams in the top five, top six?
Oh, I think that there's going to be some awesome teams this year, no question about it. But obviously scheduling and when a team peaks and whether they can avoid a loss early when maybe they're not playing as well. All that stuff goes into it. It takes luck and health, and there's so many different factors. But from a pure talent perspective, yeah, I mean, Clemson, Florida State in the ACC, Ohio State and Michigan in the Big Ten, Alabama, LSU, maybe a Tennessee in the SEC. Oklahoma is going to be very good in the Big 12. So there's really good teams, but to get to the end of the year and fulfill those expectations, it's not easy, and then there's going to be somebody who sort of jumps up out of nowhere. But at the end of the day, this playoff system, I think, I think what it does more than anything is it ensures that a great team that maybe has a hiccup early or suffers an injury doesn't lose out on a chance to play for a championship based on sort of one bad weekend or one injury or anything like that. And I think that's a good thing.
Couple more minutes here with Dan Walken of of USA Today, their national college football writer. Do you see any of the new coaches? And there weren't a ton of them, but there's some. The Muschamps, the Ricks, even Jim Grobe maybe at Baylor. Anybody having the same type impact with their new program this year that say Harbaugh did a year ago at Michigan? In year one.
Yeah. Look, Miami's got a really nice core of players, and because of the quarterback, Brad Kaya, and as brilliant as he is, you really do have an excellent chance to win that division. It's not an overwhelming group of teams. Oddly enough, since the ACC went to a divisional format, Miami has never won the division and played in the championship game. And it would not surprise me if that changes in year one. But I don't know if they have enough to be like a real, national contender. But certainly because of his experience and because of what he's done, he's got a chance to go in there and get some things done early. Justin Fuente at Virginia Tech, another one who I think will have a tremendous impact on the team right away, especially given that he kept Bud Foster as his defensive coordinator. They're going to be really good on defense, and if they adapt well to that offensive system and find a couple, playmakers and a guy who can run that system at quarterback, I think they're going to be really good too.
Two more things for you, Dan, then we'll cut you loose on this Friday. BYU, in the worst way, wants to be a member of a Power 5 conference, but with the Big 12 staying where they are, it doesn't look promising right now. Do you see, in the next 3 to 5 years, a chance for BYU to be a Power 5 team, or are they better served trying to get back into, say, a Mountain West conference and upping that conference's profile a little bit more?
Look, this is all really difficult to predict. I think the Big 12 is probably just going to stand pat. And, I don't know how long that will stay stable. It's because it's just a real different environment with these grants of rights. Because I don't think the ACC, you're not taken from the ACC, you're not taken from the Big Ten. The Pac-12 seems sort of stable. I just think if there's going to be a huge realignment, it'll be probably 6 years down the road, because that's when a lot of these other media deals are going to come up. And even then, who knows what the media environment looks like. If the Big 12 doesn't expand this time and doesn't expand in the near future, I just don't know really what I don't know really where BYU is gonna have a chance to go. And even if they do expand, I don't know that BYU is going to get in. So it's just a real, it's a real difficult situation. And if you're on the outside looking in, it's for all those schools, whether it's them or Cincinnati or Memphis or Central Florida, Houston. It's frustrating, but it's the reality. And I don't know that it's going to change in the near future. So you just got to keep building your program.
Last thing for you, we're 62 days away from the season, 2 weeks away from Pac-12 football media days. Is there somebody you're most high or bullish on in the Pac-12 this year?
I think Washington State's got a chance to make some noise with what they've got coming back on offense and the quarterback, Luke Falk. He's a tremendous player. They got that receiver back for another year. You know what Mike Leach is capable of offensively, and they've improved tremendously. Last year they were tough to play. I mean, they had Stanford beat and couldn't quite get it done. And so I think they're right on the verge. You know, everyone's real high on Washington, certainly. I do think from a talent perspective, UCLA to me has got a chance. If you're going to say who's the school out of the Pac-12 that if things break right can really make a run for it, and I think it's UCLA because Josh Rosen is so good and they are so talented. But they just haven't put a full season together, and so until they do, people are going to be really skeptical.
Dan, thanks so much for coming on a Friday. Have a good holiday weekend, and will we see you down in L.A. for the Pac-12 meetings?
No, I am doing the Olympics this year, so I'm only hitting a couple of the media days, and I'm not going to be able to make it out to the West Coast, but it's always a fun time.
Any trepidation about going to Brazil on your part?
No, not at all. I mean, without getting too philosophical, things sort of happen. And can happen anywhere, anytime, and you know, certainly a lot of the issues because they've gotten a lot of the media attention are really magnified. But you know, I traveled a lot and I've seen a lot of things, and I just don't sort of live my life in fear of what might go wrong. So you know, I'll be all right. I'm excited about it.
Well, hey, have fun with that. Be safe, and we'll talk to you during football season. Appreciate it, Dan.
Sure, thanks.
There you go. Dan Wolkin with us from USA Today here on the Bill Riley Show.